Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC AM and FM and on the web at WNYC.org. I'm Mike Pesca, filling in today for Brian. Most of the talk of the World Trade Center site has centered around the controversy around the proposed Islamic Cultural Center, slated for a two-block north location, famously, of the World Trade Center site. But Saturday's coming up, and that's 9 years since the attack on the World Trade Center, and some attention is shifting to the site itself. New York Times reporter David Dunlap wrote this week about how, in the minds of a lot of people, the site is still thought of as ground zero, as in, what are they ever going to do with ground zero? But Dunlap's reporting that the construction at the World Trade Center complex is moving along pretty quickly. Of course, there have been criticisms and setbacks, and David Dunlap is here now to talk about the fast-moving development. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
So if we went down there right now and walked around, what would strike us? What would we say?
For the first time, you really see structures coming out of the ground, and I think that may be a way for people to start changing their minds about the pace of development, because the One World Trade Center, which is destined to be the tallest building in New York City, is about one-third of the way up to its eventual height. It's about 36-38 stories right now of structural steel. That's on Vesey and West Street, and at the opposite corner of the site at Church and Liberty, Four World Trade Center is already up to the sixth floor. I think one of the things that's made it so difficult for New Yorkers and visitors to appreciate the pace of development there is most of it has taken place below ground and well out of view of sidewalk superintendents.
Was there a lot of work being taking place below ground, or how many years was spent with really no work at all and just a lot of dickering?
In truth, in retrospect, this project has moved remarkably quickly. I know that sounds like apostasy, but it's. I think what happened here, frankly, is that the expectation of the commemoration of the awful events of September 11th, 2001, coupled with the desire to show the city's resilience as quickly as possible, led to political timetables being put out that could not possibly have been met. When you think of the fact that the Times Square redevelopment, the 42nd Street redevelopment, is only now coming to an end 30 years after Mayor Koch announced it, a 10-year timetable at the Trade Center site is remarkably fast, actually. But the expectation was for something to happen much more quickly and without all of the internecine warfare that typically characterizes projects of such magnitude.
And a call out to our listeners, especially those who live or work near the site, what are you seeing and what are you hoping to see there? Have you been noticing the buildings going up a lot quicker? 38 stories, how could you miss that? Give us a call, please, at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or WNYC.org, and click on the Brian Lehrer Show at the website. So, David, you wrote earlier this week that report of construction is almost instantly out of date because things move so quickly. Yesterday, there was an update on the City Room blog on the Times that two steel trees that held up the original North Tower have been returned to the site, and this time not as structural muscle, but as memorial artifacts on those giant scales. What's the significance of those trees?
They underwent an interesting transformation in the public eye because they were part of the original design of the Trade Center, and anyone who remembers the plaza of the World Trade Center will recall these sort of Gothic arches that were, as you say, kind of tree-like in their form or fork-like because it was a single column that branched out into three, and this formed the base of the facade of each of the twin towers. And at the time, they were regarded as architecturally fussy and really out of keeping with the spirit of the building itself. But then when we saw them on the day after the attack and certain portions of the facade were still standing, they were the one recognizable element, that the curving form of those trees was the one thing we could really relate to from our memory of what the Trade Center had been. And so they assumed a tremendously important iconic role, and I think their return to the site will be one of the most evocative things that that people see there.
I think that phenomenon is probably true about the Trade Center or the Twin Towers themselves. They didn't really receive too many architectural plaudits while they were there, but without them, you know, the skyline seems naked, and you, of course, miss them beyond just the fact that the tragedy that brought them down.
It's absolutely true. I think they were, and we were conscious of it immediately in the days after, but I find still, 9 years later, they were our anchors in the sky, and certainly in navigating the complex Dutch streets of Lower Manhattan, they were a guidepost, a landmark. You could literally, you know, if someone said, how do I get to Church Street? You'd point over there and say, see that?
Yeah. You get out of the subway, you get, and you immediately orient yourself north and south, and that was your North Star. And today on the Leonard Lopate Show, they'll be talking about the memorial itself, and Leonard's talking to Steven Rosenbaum, who's making a documentary and photographing, and you can see some of those photographs on the Leonard Lopate Show website on WNYC. And right now we're talking with David Dunlap of the New York Times about construction, mostly the non-memorial aspects, but about the memorial. How much did the well-documented fight over what that would look like, how much did that, if at all, slow up the rest of construction?
That's a good question. I don't feel particularly competent to answer, except to say that nothing could happen on the memorial, because the memorial consists now really of the plaza and the pools. Nothing could happen on the memorial until all of the infrastructural fights that needed to be fought on everything below it were resolved. So I have a sense that it was more reconciling other projects that held up the memorial than the other way around.
How many buildings are going to be there when all is said and done?
If you think of a building as something above ground, you would have there are four skyscrapers, mm-hmm. numbers 1 through 4, World Trade Center. There is Santiago Calatrava's well-known bird-like or stegosaurus-like path train station. There will be a performing arts center eventually, it is hoped. There will be an entrance pavilion to the underground museum and two very large ventilating shafts. Those will be the above-ground expressions. But it's important to think of this as, if you think of this whole complex as starting some 70 feet below ground, you really have, you know, you have a seven-story building of tremendous size below street level. So any kind of building count is a bit misleading.
Do you think that when this is all done, or almost all done, or actually when it's all done, and in fact when New Yorkers have had time to digest it, that we maybe won't start thinking about the Ground Zero site as one thing, which is where this tragedy happened, but we'll think about it as a collection of buildings, and the power of saying Ground Zero or the World Trade Center site will, I don't know, lessen, but become different. So maybe in a few years, I don't know if this will happen architecturally or psychologically or what you can speak to it, but the idea of people debating, you know, two blocks north of Ground Zero, once there are actual buildings and a memorial and, you know, thriving businesses down there, it will mean something a lot different in a few years than it does now, do you think?
It's a terrific point you make, actually, and one that hadn't occurred to me, that at the time of the full build-out, in fact, what is already a considerable physical isolation between the site of the proposed Islamic Community Center and what we think of as Ground Zero will be that much greater, because you will have four skyscrapers, a performing arts center, and the PATH terminal making sort of an L shape around the sacred memorial ground. That is the ground on which the Twin Towers stood and whose absence is marked by these gigantic waterfalls and pools, 176 feet on each side. And I think you're absolutely right that will come to be, and it's separated by the rest of the site by Greenwich Street and Fulton Street, that will that will come in a way to be ground zero, and that even the buildings on what are now, you know, the ground zero site will be thought of perhaps more as part of downtown, commercial downtown.
Well, last summer, WNYC reporter Andrea Bernstein was down near the site with two New York Times reporters, Charles Bagley and Michael Powell. She asked them about their predictions. We have the tape of that. Let's listen to your colleagues, and then you comment and see if their predictions are coming true.
5 years from now, I expect to see a memorial, a public building, a transit center, and that's about it.
15 years from now?
15. Well, maybe we'll have an office building or two office buildings.
Okay. Your prediction?
5 years from now. 5 years from now, we will have the spire, and we'll have the public space. And I'd suspect that we'll have one of the other office buildings, probably smaller than now envisioned.
So that was Charles Bagley first and Michael Powell. Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction for 5 and 15 years out?
Oh, I don't do predictions. I don't do predictions. But we do have, I mean, now two of
what's
the
official
four...
word? What's the official prediction, if you will?
Well, I would say an important agreement was arrived at in late August that permits Silverstein Properties, the commercial leaseholder on the site, to proceed to the extent that they can obtain tenants and financing on the two remaining towers on the site that they have the right to build. Larry Silverstein is a perennially confident, optimistic man, and so he's very game to undertake this, but the experience of the past year suggests that caution is always appropriate. What they had to do, though, and this is a key point, they had to figure out, the Port Authority had to figure out with Silverstein what was going to happen below ground at the sites of number 2 and number 3 World Trade Center, because both of those buildings' foundations abut the foundation of the Calatrava Transit Center. And unless all of that infrastructure could be built simultaneously, it was going to add tremendous complication, delay, and expense to the overall project.
The spire that I think was Bagley talking about, is that still going to be 1,776 feet tall if you add the what is the radio antenna on top of it?
Well, it's and it's good of you to make that distinction, because it frequently gets lost. This symbolic figure of 1776 is it does refer to street level, to the tip of a mast, an ornament in its upper reaches, an ornamental mast, as I understand it, because you don't even need a broadcasting mast quite that high. But interestingly and importantly, I think the tower itself, the occupiable building, will be 1,368 feet tall, which is to say, the height of the old One World Trade Center. So even deducting that 400 feet for symbolism, you still have a building of tremendous height, and just as we were saying earlier, an anchor point in the sky once again.
David Dunlap, he's been covering the World Trade Center site building progress. He's been doing it for the New York Times, and he's been talking to us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And in about a minute, we'll go back to school with our series, Freshman Class. Stick around.